That's my fault. That is 100% my fault. That's the mute button. Saved by the Bell? Anyone? Did that? Okay. Just me? That's what it looked like to me. What's that, Bri? Rugrats? It looked a little... It definitely had kind of an early 90s vibe to it, didn't it? Kind of that party vibe. Okay. So we are starting a new series, and it is called Over It, and it deals with forgiveness. And forgiveness is one of those things that you think you've heard a lot about, and you think you understand, but it's really important to revisit forgiveness, because forgiveness is something that we've got to get a handle on a lot of days of our lives. Because a lot of the times, you're going to experience stuff in life that you've somehow got to get over, okay? You've been hurt, you've been left out, you've been talked down upon or talked about behind your back, okay? And this is just in middle school. The rest of your life, you're going to have stuff where people maybe trample on your rights or feel like you feel like people don't treat you fairly, and you've got to figure out a way to get over that. And we're going to look at just very briefly the story of Joseph this morning, but we're also going to talk a little bit about the Apostle Paul in a letter that he wrote to a church. Did you know that Paul went around? He's considered the greatest missionary of all time, okay, in the Christian church. He planted churches all over the place, and then he wrote letters to them because he couldn't be at all the churches. And there were a lot of times when he was getting locked up and put into prison, and Paul wanted to encourage and teach the churches, and the way he did that primarily was through letters. We're going to look at that in just a second. I told you I flew home last night, and I flew Delta. Do you guys fly at all? Anybody fly more than a couple times a year? Okay, I don't fly a ton, but I'll tell you this. I'm 6'4", okay, and they stuck me. No, they didn't they. I don't even know who they are, okay, Delta. Okay, and I love Delta, on the very back seat of a jet that's called an MD-88. Okay, that means nothing to you unless you fly. An MD-88 is like, try and crawl into a paper towel tube, okay? So I'm in the very back. I'm sitting next to Josh Cook. He's on the aisle. We're right in front of the bathroom. And it feels like the plane is trying to hug me, okay? And I'm a little claustrophobic. So, you know, maybe somebody else wouldn't have had an issue with it. But I'm sitting there, and I've got to tell you straight up, I was mad. Like, I was thinking, man, I paid as much as the rest of these guys on this airplane, and I've got to sit here, okay? And I'm looking at all, like, the 5'2" old ladies who are sitting in front of me, you know, stretching their legs out. The dude who is 4'7" and he's sitting in the exit aisle thing with, you know, literally his feet stretched out, touching the nothing because there's nothing in front of him, okay? And this jet is trying to strangle me, okay? And I thought, man, okay, it's little things that can make me angry. It's little things that can make me feel like I'm being treated unfairly. So you remember the story of Joseph? Okay, we can find the story of Joseph, and I told you I don't have my glasses on here, okay? It's in the book of Genesis, okay? And it starts in chapter 37 and then goes over to chapter 39. In chapter 37, what we learn about Joseph is he is his father's favorite son. His dad sends him out on a mission. Tell me how your brothers are doing, all your older brothers. And he goes out and he sees that, you know, they're supposed to be tending the flock and they're just hanging out. You know, maybe they're playing a pickup football game or something, but they're basically just out there messing around. And so Joseph, being the prototypical little brother, goes back home, and guess what he does? Yeah, he snitches, he tattletales. Okay? You can't really blame him for this, because dad sent him on a mission. But he comes home and he says, hey, dad, they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And you know how dad responds? Thanks, Joseph. You're awesome. Let me give you this awesome coat, okay? Because you do a good job, okay? And everybody in the family starts to get the idea that dad what? Favors. Yeah, favors Joseph. He loves Joseph more. And there were some reasons behind that, okay? Different wives and this sort of thing. But he really did favor Joseph, okay? So Joseph comes out and he's got this coat on and he goes over to his brothers when they come back in and he goes, hey, you know what, guys? I had this dream. And basically in this dream, one day you're going to bow down to me. And they were like, I'm sorry, what? You said what? We've been out busting it in the fields with these sheep. You've been at home with dad, okay, modeling coats. And one day we're going to bow down to you. And he's like, yep. Okay, like Joseph probably had some maturing he needed to do, right? That's probably a dream you keep to yourself. That's not a dream you tell everybody. He didn't do it just once. He did it twice. Next night, a week later, okay, whenever it was, he goes back out and he goes, hey, remember that dream? Yeah, I kind of had it again. Pretty sure God's trying to tell you something. Okay? And his brothers got angry. Fast forward in the story. Joseph's going out to check on them again. They see him coming, and they say, here comes that dreamer Joseph. What are we going to do? And some of his brothers, like, this escalated really quickly. Some of his brothers are like, let's murder him. It was like, whoa! Like, I've been angry at my brother before, okay? And I know Jesus said that being angry at your brother is the same as murdering, but these dudes were literally saying, let's murder him. It's like, how angry would you have to be at your brother to want to murder him, okay? Yeah, he was a pain. Yeah, he was kind of braggy. But this is your brother, okay? Older brother comes in. He's like, hey, you know what? Yeah, that's one way we could go, okay? Let's throw him in this pit. Chill just a minute, okay? I'll be back. Nobody do anything, okay? And then we'll decide what we're going to do. And he goes out. As he's out, these traveling slave traders come by. And they're like, we don't have to kill him. We can sell him. Okay? Not only will he be gone, but we'll make bank. That's what the kids are saying nowadays. I don't know if you know that. It's not true. So they sell Joseph. Older brother comes back. He's like, hey, where's Joseph? We sold him. You did what? This is going to kill dad. We are going to be in so much trouble. One of the other guys goes, oh, here's what we do. We kept this coat. Let's kill a sheep or a goat, spill some blood on it, tear it up a little bit, act like he was dragged away by a wild animal. Yeah, that's what we'll do. So they did that, and they went home, and they told dad, and dad is heartbroken, and he's mourning. And meanwhile, Joseph's being carried off. Okay? You know what happens to Joseph, right? But before we get there, I want you to ask yourself a question. Okay? You read this story. I want you to know this is not a made-up story. Okay? It's not a fictional story. This happened to a dude named Joseph. What if this happened to you? What if those of you who have siblings, your siblings got so angry with you, they just totally messed you over somehow. They told lies about you. They found a way to get even with you to the point of selling you into slavery. Okay, I know that's hard to imagine because it seems so far outside of what could possibly happen, but it happened. How would you feel? I want to hear some words. Attacked. Okay, yeah. Strange. How would you feel? Hey guys, let me teach you something, okay? Girls have better emotional language than boys. No, it's true. By and large, girls have better emotional language than boys. Shh. The reason I know this, okay, is because I've been part of a group called the Wellspring Group, okay, and I've had to learn emotional language because I didn't know it. I thought I did, okay? I didn't like the idea that maybe I didn't know it. So here's what I want you to do, okay? Guys, I want you to listen to the girls for a minute, okay? Girls, how would this make you feel? Attacked, alone, sad, betrayed, scared, what?
Awful.
Awful. not loved. And all the guys are like, bad. Okay? But to us, girls, you got to understand, bad means all those things. Okay? We just say bad. All right? So that's how Joseph felt. Shh, listen up, guys. Joseph eventually makes it to a house where he is bought as a slave. You know what it means to be a slave? I know you've probably said to your mom, you treat me like a slave. Being a slave, not a good deal. Listen to me. He had to work for this man. He couldn't say no. Okay? He wasn't getting paid. All right? He was being treated like property. It was a bad, bad thing to go from being loved and wanted and adored to being a doormat and used. Hey, listen to me. This happened. Okay? His feelings were real. And when he thought about his brothers, you've got to understand at this time in history, do you know what the law was? It was an eye for an eye. A tooth for a tooth. What you do to me, I get to do to you. Okay? It was vengeance. Do you think Joseph was having thoughts about what he would do to his brothers if he ever saw them again? He was, for sure. Okay? Let me tell you a quick story, okay? While I was thinking about this, I wanted to think about a time where I had trouble getting over something. You gotta understand, I'm pretty forgiving, and so I was trying to think of times. It does take me a little bit to get there, okay? Just, I can say that because Karn's in the room. Okay, she forgives much faster than I do. But I'll get there, right? I've told you that Andy, my son, plays football, okay? I have a lot of football stories, and part of that is because I decided as a dad and a pastor that football would be one of the ways, coaching football would be one of the ways that I would minister to my community, okay? I would be a presence in a place where I thought it was needed. So Andy started playing football in fourth grade. Do you have the, we don't have them? Which one? You just throw it up, it doesn't matter. I do not know why that picture's up there, but that's Andy in fourth grade, okay? He's holding a gun. So at this age, you can take that picture down. I have no idea why that's up there. It's a great picture though, right? He started playing football, and he played for the Blackwell Bears, his community team, and he played defensive end, and we were just trying to figure stuff out. And the next year, he goes, yeah, I think I want to play quarterback. We were like, great, well, let's move you over to Lasseter. These are the kids you're going to be playing football with for the rest of your life. And so we talked to the coach, and the coach was like, yeah, he's got a great build for a quarterback. Let's try him at quarterback. Wow, he can really throw. Great. You know what you should do? You should get him lessons. So we got him lessons. We got him quarterback lessons with a dude who, his name is Ron Veal, and he's Trevor Lawrence's quarterback coach, and he's Justin Fields' quarterback coach, but it was long before those guys were anybody, okay? He just happens to live locally, and so we figured out ways to pay money out for this dude to turn Andy into a quarterback, okay? And for those of you who don't really know football, quarterback's the dude who gets to touch the ball on every play, okay? He either hands it off or he throws it. So it's kind of a cool position. And so he did pretty well, okay? He was moving up. We started having him practice with some of the other receivers and thinking about what it would be like to watch him on Friday nights lighting up the scoreboard at Lasseter High School, okay? And the first practice of eighth grade, there was a kid, okay, on defense, who had trouble concentrating, didn't ever listen, and like, it was my mission to love this kid. Okay, we'll call him Connor, because that's his name. Connor played linebacker, okay? Now, there's a rule in football, and sometimes it's an unwritten rule, but it should always be spoken by the coaches. You never hit your own quarterback. You never hit your own quarterback. Connor wasn't new to football. Connor just didn't pay attention, okay? And during the scrimmage on day one of eighth grade football practice, the year before high school, Connor came around the end, okay? Andy was looking this way, and he put his helmet right into the middle of Andy's back. And Andy went down. And when you're a dad, you know when your kid's hurt, okay? And I rushed over, and he tried to get up, and he couldn't get up. He was just in so much pain. And then when he got up, he tried to throw a ball, and he couldn't throw a ball. And we knew something bad was wrong, and so we took him to get x-rays, and he had broken a bone in his back. Season's over. So here's what happens is, backup quarterback comes in, okay? Andy's backup gets to play now in eighth grade. Well, guess who's watching the eighth grade quarterback? The high school coach, okay? The high school coach starts pulling BT into some of the high school practices. And I see what's happening, and I'm going, this is the worst thing ever. This is terrible. Like, my kid's been playing the quarterback position, and now he's hurt. And this kid, and in ninth grade, we found out, Coach Irwin said, hey, it's going to be BT. Even though you're better now, Andy, you can back him up. Every time I saw Connor, guess what feelings went through me? Can you come up here? Can you come up here? She's my emotional translator. Okay, just tell them what you said.
I said he's going to punch him.
Yeah, I want to punch him. It was the first kid I ever wanted to kick in the head. Okay? So, that was pretty good. I like the way you describe things. Thank you very much. Every time I saw that kid, I got these terrible, terrible feelings. You understand? I was out there coaching. Even when Andy wasn't playing, and I would see this kid every day, and I just had to stay away from him. But if you're a Christian, it doesn't take too long before God starts to say, hey, that's some ugly stuff going on inside of you there, Paul. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever felt like you're holding on to something that's just kind of ugly and gross, and God's trying to call attention to it, and he looks at you, and maybe it's not an audible voice, probably not an audible voice, but maybe when you're reading the word or when you're being quiet, he goes, hey, can we talk about that thing that's going on in your life? I know you're hurt, but I need you to forgive. And here's the problem, and this is what I want you to understand. Look up here, boys. Forgiveness is hard because of how it feels before you do it. Before you forgive, you've got that really, really hurt, angry, sad feeling. And you don't want to go there, but you can't help it. And we don't want to do it because it's hard. The story of Joseph gets worse. He goes to prison. He's forgotten. He doesn't deserve any of it. His rights are trampled on. He ends up being redeemed being remembered. Pharaoh actually tells Joseph, you're the number two guy in all of Egypt. You need to save my people from this famine that's coming a few years down the road. Joseph works a plan. The famine's terrible. It goes all over the land. And his brothers have to make a trip to Egypt, where Joseph is now ruling. So he's ruling in Egypt. So he looks a little bit different. He's probably shaved. He may have, you know, man makeup on. What was the thing? It was a thing. Eyeliner. I don't know what it's called. Guyliner. I did not need to know that. Guys, I don't do this very often. This is just going to be my opinion. Okay? Don't wear makeup. All right. Let's never talk about that again. Hey, look. His brothers get in front of him. Joseph recognizes them right away. They don't recognize him. And he has a decision to make. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. This is my chance. Send him to jail. Make him be slaves. Kill him. But what we read about Joseph is that at some point, inside of himself, he forgave his brothers for what they did. And then he does it for real. He cries, he hugs, he gives them everything they need, and he doesn't hold it against them. He let it go. When you hold something against somebody, I've heard it said that it's like drinking poison and hoping they die. When you hold a grudge against somebody, it's like drinking poison and hoping they die. That's a bad move. But that's what a grudge does. That pain and that hurt turns into infection, and it festers inside of you emotionally and in your mind until you can't function right. And you can't follow God right. And you can't move on in your life because you're stuck there. But when we forgive people, God's lifted up. People see that we're different, and we can move on out of that terrible place. So I had to forgive Connor, okay? And I did. And I made a point every time I saw Connor after that to go up and give him a hug. Because I think he knew I was mad at him. Although, I'm thinking about Connor, he probably didn't. But I knew I was mad at him. And I'll tell you straight up, when I was mad at him, the ministry I was doing on that team wasn't great. So guys, when you go into small groups today, you're going to be tempted. Boys in the back, look up here. Super important. You're going to be tempted to let everyone else talk, especially guys. Be honest with your group today about stuff that you struggle with as far as forgiveness. And what seems big to you might seem little to somebody else, and what seems little to you might be big for somebody else. It doesn't matter what it is. It matters what it's doing, okay? So I'm going to pray for you, and then we're going to go to small groups. God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you that through your grace and provision, you've given us a place where we can get together and we can encounter you. So that's what we pray for this morning, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would continue to work in the lives of these students, that we wouldn't just hear the word, but we would do the word. We wouldn't just hear about forgiveness, but we would do forgiveness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you guys.